Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Our colleague Micheál Lehane reporting in the last few minutes that the opposition leaders will tell the Ceann Comhairle in the Dáil at midday that they no longer have confidence in her. This follows on the discussions amongst party leaders this morning. So a formal no confidence vote is likely, reports Micheál, at a later point after the parties consult with their members. So that's the latest from that, but we'll keep you updated as we go through. Now, another report, another organisation saying that housing targets won't be met. This time it's the turn of the banks, the Banking Payments, Banking and Payments Federation, saying we should expect 35,000 homes to be built in 2025, despite the government plans for 41,000 by the end of the year. Well, for more on this, I'm joined by Brian Hayes, CEO of the Banking and Payments Federation. You're welcome.
Morning, Claire.
So you're saying the government's going to miss the housing target this year and next. Why?
Well, it looks like it on the basis of what's happening at the moment. Obviously, last year was a real disappointment in terms of the outturn. And unless things change, I think we'll struggle to even hit those targets from last year. I think the governor of the central bank was right this week to highlight that it's not really finances the problem. The problem is around capacity. We have too many parts of the system not connected, not working. I heard Michael O'Flynn on your show last week, Claire. Mm-hmm. He's always worth listening to because he's on the front line. And he gives examples of the problems that the development and housing sector have. And they're really around the whole issue of zoned land, development land.
Planning.
And I also think, let's be very frank about it, the reason why the apartments have fallen off a cliff, particularly in Dublin, is that there has been a flight of international investors from the country because of the uncertainty and issues around rent caps and interest rates over the past number of years. And unless we address that issue, we need all players on the pitch, domestic capital, domestic Irish banks, international banks working together.
Mm. But so you said there the central bank haven't highlighted financing as an issue, but yet you say there should be this state credit guarantee. Now, the central bank don't say that.
Well, no, that's a public policy issue. It's not a matter for the central bank. It's a matter for government. We believe we can do more. If you take last year, Claire, about 13.5 billion was the total capital envelope for the 32,000 houses. About 5.5 billion on the public side, 8 billion on the private side. Half of that was through Irish Pillar Banks, which produced in excess of 10,000 new homes. We think we can do more, though. And I think that is around understanding some of the risks that are there. The way in which development lending it's radically changed. It's a staged process now where developers have to put equity on the table. That's a good use of capital. It's a clever use of capital. But it's also a way of de-risking the viability of the project. And we think because, you know, banks will lend maybe 60, 66%, mm-hmm. about 20% equity. Sometimes it's about 10 or 15% of what we call mezzanine finance, which has to be obtained from wholesale markets. It's really expensive. And sometimes that makes that package of funding unviable. So if we got a credit guarantee scheme, even for a kind of a sunset period of years to see could this work, it might help to get smaller developers. And this would only be focused on smaller developers on multiple sites. That's the problem, I think.
People
it's a capacity.
People find it hard to understand why the risk is considered so great when property prices are going up all of the time, exponentially.
The risk has to be, money has to be obtained from the wholesale markets. So the amount of capital a bank has to put to one side if it gives to a developer is five times the amount of capital it puts to one side for a mortgage payer. Mm-hmm. Like the Irish banks last year produced, Irish banks and non-banks produced last year 43,000 drawdowns from 51,000 approvals, 60% of which were first-time buyers. So we're doing what we should be doing, which is lending to mortgages, but we think we can do more if we got the mix of instruments right. There's one other thing we can do, and I think this would really help. If you take AHBs at the moment, the approved housing bodies, they exclusively get their funding from the Housing Finance Agency. In a sense, the banks and other private sector entities are frozen out of that right now. That's not a good thing because the multiplier effect by getting different lenders onto the pitch creates new opportunities. For instance, there will be many pension funds, insurance funds, international funds who will partner with the Irish banks because we have a distribution model, we know the local market, but they need to see the banks on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And some of the instruments that the government have put forward, understandably in a circumstance where interest rates are rising, have actually worked against getting banks onto the pitch. So and that's something we want to work with government on.
Are you telling us then that it's expensive for banks to lend to developers, making it unviable for you to do that in any greater way beyond what banks are doing at the moment?
There's a viability challenge in any development because historically SME lending or lending to small developers is risky by its nature. You're giving capital up front, even though it's on a staged basis, and you don't know where the economy is going to be in 2 years' time. Mm-hmm. Are people in pharmaceuticals, for instance, going to be affected? So yes, there's always challenges there on that side, but the bigger issues aren't that. The bigger issues are really around, listen, we've 69,000 commencements last year. That means they've started. The question is, can Irish water, can electricity, public utilities be connected to those homes? If tomorrow the government gave all the Apple money to every single developer in the country and said, here's the money, build us the houses, give us the money back, do we think we'd double the level of housing output this year? No, because there are capacity and infrastructure issues that have to be addressed.
And I think Irish Water has said 35,000 is their max, isn't it, when it comes to connections?
How does the government get to 40, 50,000? We need to get to 50,000, we all accept that, when Irish Water can only do 35,000. Mm-hmm. So there are constraints in the system. I saw an example this morning where lands have been, that residential lands have been de-zoned. There's a planning problem. We don't have enough development land, residential land, and we don't have the services. What's needed? And I have, you know, a lot of sympathy for the new minister. He's in a very difficult position. He's doing the right thing right now in speaking to stakeholders, our own industry, banks, architects, developers, trying to find out what we need to do quickly this year. That was the point that Michael O'Flynn raised last week. What we need to do this year to get those figures up into the 30,000s.
I see the central bank saying as well, they believe there's some competition coming back into the banking market because of the online operators. And one of the signs of that, we have seen these new, well, they're tracker style mortgages, essentially. I mean, it's taken a long time for us to see those sorts of products in the market. Are things being shaken up a little bit? Are your members now going to have to react and respond to this?
Well, there are members too. So you're referring to Avant, for instance. Mm-hmm. They've been in the market for over a decade. Now they're changing in terms of their entity into a branch through Bank Inter, where they're you know, future funded by. I think there is more interest now in coming into the market, which is good. Mm-hmm. We've seen other players as well coming into the market, and they bring different experiences. One of our key mandates is around competition. The Irish banks want to see more entrants into the market because it helps to spread the risk. It also helps to improve product offerings.
But things are changing, are they? I mean, it is the central bank who pointed this out only yesterday.
Things are beginning to move.
We're seeing
things are beginning to move. The bigger challenges the whole sector faces is really the amount of capital we have, what we call risk-weighted assets or risk-weighted density, because much of the bad lending decisions that were taken 2 decades ago are still working their way to the system. But it is a good thing that we are beginning to see new entrants into the market. We've seen the credit union sector, for instance, very bold plans that they have in terms of increasing mortgages there. All of that is good, but our pillar banks do a lot of the heavy lifting when it comes to mortgage provision, produce lots of new mortgage product, and are out there with everyone else looking for. And as interest rates are coming down, Claire, that's a good thing as well, because it improves the entire environment.
Well, some of the new loan products, they allow people to pay down their mortgages now without penalties, without being penalised. They're on fixed mortgages. Like, can you explain why it's taken so long for us to see that move in the market?
I think for many years, the Irish market was seen as a very difficult market to operate in from a regulatory supervisory perspective, from a political perspective, and even a media perspective, the kind of constant denouncing of the banking industry.
But nobody would have criticised a bank for allowing someone to pay off their mortgage and not be penalised.
I think it was a difficult market to operate in and remains so. But I think we're beginning to see new entrants coming to the market, and all of those new entrants, some of whom have operated in other locations in Europe will obviously bring their own experience. Our job is not to really provide some kind of ongoing commentary for different lenders or different products. Our thing is around making sure we have a good competitive environment, making sure that we're not an outlier on capital, we're not an outlier on regulation, making sure that it's a good place that people can operate in. And I think new products are all part of that.
You mentioned interest rates are coming down. We're still the seventh highest in the Eurozone when it comes to what we charge people on mortgages, what the banks charge people on mortgages. Why?
Yeah, it's an outcome of the amount of capital. So the amount of capital that Irish banks have to hold against mortgages is on average twice the level of capital as it is in other European countries. That's the risk weighting problem that we face. It's more expensive to originate a mortgage in this country because of that capital. Notwithstanding that, I would point out that during the very significant spike in ECB rates, the third lowest pass-through of the ECB rate rise happened in the Irish market.
Yeah, but savers didn't get that either from the banks.
The banks took a very balanced approach to this, notwithstanding the fact that there's 880,000 mortgage payers in the country. They wanted to take a fair and balanced approach to this. And I think each bank obviously has to make its own decision based on cost of funds and where it sees itself in the market. But there was actually a very conservative pass-through of that rate. And that really helped people through a very difficult time in terms of, extra inflation and hyperinflation that we saw.
Brian Hayes, we need to leave it there, but thank you
Thanks,
for coming
Claire.
In.